This little fella right here is making his way in country music, and this is his Opry debut tonight. Yes, sir.
Is that guy chewing?
I hadn't met him till just now, but I know he's a pro because I shook his hand and it's
dentures
still
are loose.
Warm. Most of the time when you come out on the Opry for the first time, you shake it all over and your hands feel like ice. And this boy is calm and collected right here. He's from Canada. And listen to them snow geese holler out there.
I'm sorry, it's snow birds, okay?
Really? How about a big hand for Mr. Jason McCoy?
Yeah, Mr. Jason McCoy.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thank you so much, folks.
As a 25-year veteran of the entertainment industry and two-time CCMA Male Vocalist of the Year, Jason McCoy appears to be the king of reinvention. I don't know if he likes that. That makes him sound like he's 70 years old. Growing up in the small town of Minsing.
Okay.
Somewhere in northern Ontario, Jason admired the well-rounded artistry of classic entertainers Roger Miller. You remember any of his songs? Roger, King of the Road, remember him?
Yep.
You're just smiling and nodding.
Yep.
Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, and Glenn Campbell. Boy, there's a face job. It's kind of gone wrong. Armed with a guitar and a dream, Jason set out at the age of 19 to follow his own path to stardom, and he's finally made it, folks. He's finally made it because he's on the Drew Marshall Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason McCoy. What's going on, Mr. McCoy?
Hello, hello.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Am I the seventh caller?
Where do I win? You sound like you're in the crapper.
Where do I pick it up? At the station?
What kind of dog is that in the background?
Well, that dog is a half of something, and the other half ain't so bright. I don't really know. It's part boxer, though, and she thinks she's a big Drew Marshall fan. She's a little upset she's not getting to talk to you on the phone.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Can I ask you, listen, my first question kind of goes a little something like this. Why is it the Canadian country musicians sound American?
I lived in Nashville for probably more years than I lived in Canada.
Oh, man, okay, well, then you can get away with it. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Well, I think when they're singing, it's because the U.S. artists kind of taught them to sing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you didn't sound like you don't go to the grocery store and sound like, you know, a radio guy, do you? Like, you got, like, that authoritative, you know, hey.
No, that's exactly what I'm like at the grocery store.
It's quite obnoxious.
These coupons here, it's quarter till the hour.
Yeah. Hey, I want to introduce you to somebody that really likes your music. This is Mare. Mare, this is Jason McCoy.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hi. He was asking all those country references. I heard you were just like, yeah, whatevs.
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 You got to play along with them. That's what you
Mare is short for?
Steve.
Oh, that's fantastic. Short for Meredith.
Hey, Jason McCoy, I've got four questions I want to come out of the gate with you real quick. You ready? Give us your best radio guy voice. The one, you know, just do us a little time check or something.
It's past 4 o'clock here in the great big city. Drew Marshall sitting on top of the world with you here.
That is shocking. Okay, now give us your best Victoria Banks impersonation.
Victoria Banks?
Yeah.
The singer?
Yep.
No, Jason, I'm not writing with you again. Like, I've got better things to do.
Leave me alone.
All right. Now give us your best didgeridoo.
My didgeridoo is actually didgeridon't.
Right. Yeah. We call it didgeridrew in my house.
Oh, didgeridoo.
Now give us your...
No. What? No, we're not moving on from there.
What?
You call it didgeridoo and drew in your house.
Okay. All right. Busted.
It's totally all about Drew.
I have the spiritual gift of narcissism. Okay, and now give us your best wild turkey.
That's impressive. I hear them. I see them coming. They're coming down the hall.
Dude, the turkeys are making a huge comeback. Is that because they've been killed off too many coyotes?
I don't know. This is like if you haven't said Dance for Grandma yet. What do you?
Oh,
this is like
goodness.
This is like American Idol or something. This is the first level of American Idol.
It is. Then now you can get to the second one.
Okay.
So you married the high school sweetheart. You knew her for 12 years. She's an emergency nurse. Is she hot?
No, quite warm right now. As we usually hot under the collar whenever I'm around.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Not a big fan.
Now, I've never seen a name like this. Is it Tareen?
Tareen, yep.
And is that?
I don't really know, but it's a name unique as she is.
Wow, that was nice.
That's nice.
That was good.
Nice.
Tell us
attaboy.
Tell us the proposal story, because I like proposal stories.
Well, we met in a bar. She was 16, I was 18. You know the old story.
Da-na-na-na.
Yeah. No, it's for real though.
Okay.
We were doing a show in our hometown, and then we did a gig where their families could come, and her aunt always said I had to meet her niece, and then one day I finally got to, and it was the best thing that happened to me. So, and then I waited for her to ask me for years and years and years, but she didn't, so I asked her.
And how did you ask her? How did it take place? I want to know the details, man.
Snowbank.
What?
Snowbank.
You pushed her over and forced her.
That's not cool.
Pushed me in the snowbank. No, it was a wintertime proposal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How was your speech at your wedding, by the way?
My speech at my wedding?
Yeah, I heard it wasn't that good.
A little flirt at the end.
Yeah, there you go.
Started off pretty articulate. As the day slid.
But yeah.
You know, the coolest part of the wedding I really liked was that we learned a dance for the wedding. So we weren't dancers per se, but we learned a waltz, and our first dance was a Don Williams song. And so we actually went to a dance instructor and learned these moves of how to do this specific dance for our first dance.
Yeah.
And but my favorite part of that was we were living in Nashville at the time, and we were staying at this extended stay kind of suites thing, and we would open the car door in the evening, and there's nobody staying there at the time, and under the spotlight of the parking lot, it's like totally like a Ryan Gosling movie. We would practice our dance with the car doors open.
Oh,
and we danced in the parking
so romantic.
Lot beneath the Tennessee stars.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Somebody get a bucket.
I threw up in her mouth a little bit. Jeez. I heard that.
Man, what I want to know is at your wedding, did you serve ketchup in every table?
Absolutely.
That's disgusting.
Are you kidding me?
What's wrong with you, man?
What's wrong with you? Were you born without the beautiful olfactory perception of greatness?
Like, no, I grew up Catholic. I wasn't allowed to have condiments.
Oh, yeah, allowed to have.
Oh, wah, wah.
Well, you can have them, but just feel guilty.
Yes,
okay?
There it is.
There you go.
There it is. But you're the kind of guy that puts ketchup on shortbread. I mean, come on.
Why not? I'll put it on. You know what? My son is more of that guy now. I got the old guy palate, right? I'm starting to think that, you know, blue cheese and cigars is a good thing.
Oh, well, you got one right. But blue cheese, dude, that's geriatric special. Do you meet your buddies at the Swiss Chalet and have some of the lemon soup?
Well, perhaps that Vegemite's okay.
Yeah. So, Grace and Caleb, which one do you like better?
Oh, my goodness. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
But neither are here now, so I love them equally.
Oh, nice. Well, then, you know, hold on. Isn't Caleb Hebrew for dog? Doesn't that mean dog?
Well, you see, I have a hard time with that because Caleb was also one of the first, you know, dudes into the promised land and you know, brave. And yeah, I think it does mean dog.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Just checking.
What does Drew mean? It's past tense, I know, but what does it mean exactly? You know, it's...
Putz.
What is the long form of Drew?
Putz is the longer form, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Ukrainian. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Ukrainian, right? Yeah, yeah.
Putzlinski. Okay,
oh my goodness.
Very good. Very good. I like this.
I need to know something. When was the last time you were at the Copper Kettle?
Oh, the Copper Kettle. Oh, my goodness. Probably in excess of, about a year ago.
Was that?
Less than eight months or something like that. What? You been to the Copper Kettle?
Yeah. Was that when you were like all drooly pants over Keith Urban?
Oh, really? I don't know how you heard this story. Yeah, we, no, I actually talked to Keith,
a couple of days ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Copper Kettle.
Mm.
He actually is a big fan of eating there. And I remember a friend of ours went down to Nashville and she was with us for a couple of weeks. And she was all bummed out because she never got to meet Keith Urban while she was in Nashville. I said, well, for your last day, let's go to the Copper Kettle just for fun. Because
yeah.
I know that he loves to eat there. So we go there, and lo and behold, standing behind her, immediately behind her in line with a tray in his hand, because it's this kind of cafeteria thing, boom, it's Keith Urban. So she got freaked out, totally made her trip. It was awesome.
Dude, that was like me just before this interview. I was interviewing the Bay City Rollers, and I was like goofy.
Come on.
I know.
Saturday night.
I know.
You know what? I remember, you would remember this because you guys are kids, but in the old days, we used to have roller rinks.
Yeah, baby.
And you would go there on the Saturday nights, and they would
couples
have...
Couples only. Couples only.
Oh, yeah.
All reverse.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But what you know what the problem was? I could only do like the left-hand crossover.
Oh, there. I couldn't do the right-hand crossover either.
So the thing was, whenever they reversed, I just go have a slushie and pretend I was cool.
There it is.
It never worked, but I had
Brilliant.
A
slushie.
No.
you rock, you rock. My sister loved the Bay City Rollers. My other sister loved Barry Manilow, and my dad loved Merle Haggard, so that's how I like country music. But
wow.
I still like the Bay City Rollers. They're pretty cool.
Wow. What was the worst night back when three-quarter country was rocking a Legion?
The worst night?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Three-quarter country, boy, you're digging deep here. I don't know. I didn't really have too many bad nights with those guys. It was great.
Yeah?
That was the first band I was in. I was the young buck. Got to sing a bunch of country music and make a couple of dollars. And
never had a walker thrown at you or anything? Or cane? A crutch at the Legion?
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah. I probably had false teeth thrown at me. I was too dumb to notice. That's I'd be like, well, that kind of hurt. I've had beer cans thrown at me or, you know, at the band. And I've had... that stuff happens.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we toured a lot through the South as well, and
that's where they like both kinds of music.
That's country and Western.
Dang. Right?
But they, it's amazing. They're very, very vocal about what they like and don't like.
Yeah,
which is great. It's really cool because then they just tell you. It's not that they don't like you.
No,
they just tell you, I hate that song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next. I like that.
Well, I went to the blues club in Printer's Alley in Nashville and got into a scrap in the alley with a couple of guys afterwards.
So when you say scrap, not like, you know, like cardboard cutouts?
No.
and putting pictures of your memories and stuff?
No.
Stopping, like a real scrapping?
Yeah, a little bit of how's she going? But then we ended up getting together later at Manel's, had a big feed. It was fantastic.
Together?
Yes.
The guys you got in the fight with?
Yep.
That is so, like, the best ending to The Outsiders ever.
Yeah, it is.
Never happened. If Pony Boy had ended up at Monell's, that
Pony
was
Boy at Monell's. Oh, man.
But you were you Ponytail Boy?
Yeah.
Pony? Okay, so I think that's a great ending to a fight. That's kind of like when Bugs and Daffy they're still roommates.
Yeah, it is. And Bert and Ernie, they broke up. Didn't they get a divorce, Bert and Ernie? I don't know. Anyway.
I have no idea.
Hey, is your favorite acoustic axe the Taylor? Because that's a sweet little instrument.
I love the Taylor. It's great. It was my first grown-up acoustic guitar, my newest addition.
Yeah.
I've only had two really good acoustic guitars. I just got a Gibson J45 about a year ago, and I love it. It is just fantastic. So
nice.
I got lucky and found a really good one, but it's new. It's not like an old one, you know, but I really enjoy it. So
yeah.
You play guitar.
I have a 76 Jumbo Guild.
What? Those are great.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, they sound so nice. Mary, do you play?
No, but I do not.
You don't play anything?
I used to play piano, but...
By the way, Mary's not really important in this conversation. It's,
so
it's the Drew Marshall show.
It's all about
yeah.
Drew.
Does she have a big red button that says off?
I actually do.
Don't all women have that button? Oh, easy.
I've been talking the entire time, and he's just had that button off. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, wow. You used to play piano. You need to pick that up again.
I know, I do. I need to find time.
Yeah,
I need to find time.
You need to pick that up again? That's ridiculous.
Well, not the piano.
No. So this guy wins a talent contest in Toronto in 1988, went to Nashville to record an indie album with Ray Griff. He's been playing guitar since the age of 7. His first song written was Greatest Times of All at the age of 12. And his first performance was If Drinking Don't Kill Me, Your Memory Will at the Menacing... By the way, how do you say that? Menacing?
Yeah, that's it. Menacing. Yep.
Menacing Hall for a talent show. Did you grow up in the Von Trapp family? Like, what the heck is all this?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah, I was groomed from an early age. It was like, you know, I was born in Ontario. We moved out to near Camrose, Alberta, when I was just 2 years old or something, and we lived out there. My first memories are, Alberta. That was the first thing I remember, and then moved back to Ontario here at age 7 or so, and that was it. But country music was always in our lives. It was always on the radio, and it was we lived on a farm, and that's just how it was, right? Everybody wore a hat and boots to school, and I really dug it. So, but I loved the music. I really did. It was just, even at an early age, I took to it. And my dad played a couple of chords, but it wasn't like I was encouraged to go into music. I just did, and I really am not a musician per se. I'm an entertainer more. But, but I loved guitar, and that was a means to an end. So my first jobs in music were playing guitars in other bands, and then next thing you know, write some songs, and it rhymes, and it worked, and that was it. So I forgot to quit.
Yeah. You know, I read something the other day about you that it was a promo or, I don't know, some suck-up sheet online that was telling everybody how good you were. And it kept saying you were funny.
Well, yeah. I have no idea where that came
no,
from. But,
No. Can you do that now?
Be funny?
Yeah, just do it now.
Okay, go.
Ready, go now.
Man, go.
Go, man. Go now.
Okay, that was not funny. But you know what? It's weird. It's I spent the first half of my career and my life, actually, being just scared stiff of being myself. And so I never, you don't have to get too heavy here, but so I never found myself.
No.
But somebody will. I don't know. I'm sure I'm somewhere. No, but I never really, found myself, and now I'm spending the second half of my life doing that. But it's weird because it's, I was on stage, and I used to think you had to be really cool and don't be goofy. But I was goofy, so I'd spend all day being goofy and then do the show and not say anything to the audience and be really kind of bored and tentative. And I'd be real goofy after the show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, over time, I got to do a run of theaters that really lent itself to me telling a few jokes and doing things like that. And the next thing you know, the gloves were off, and I was able to, decompartmentalize all those areas of my life. And I enjoy being a goofball. And I wish I was like the Fonz, but I'm just not.
No,
you know? I'm
more like Potsy or Ralph Mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even that good.
No. I was co-hosting with Humble the other day because Fred's on holidays. Actually, that was the first time I met you.
Yeah.
You were in the room there.
Humble and Frederico.
Yeah, and Humble and Frederico. And we were talking about comedians and, how screwed up they are in therapy and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of comedians seem to have not mommy issues, but daddy issues. Do you have any daddy issues? And by the way, is your dad alive and maybe listening and we shouldn't talk about
this? Oh, yeah, he's alive.
Okay.
He might be listening. I live just a few minutes away from them. And, I definitely have daddy issues in a good way. I mean, I had a great upbringing, but my parents were always doers, and my dad would, he'd rather... I have great memories of staying out, working in the shop.
All right. Well, hold on. So, in other words, he would say to you, I'm getting this, unless I'm totally wrong, but he would say to you, dude, really? Music? That's your career?
No. He was very encouraging.
So really?
Yeah, he was a pilot, private pilot. He had planes all our lives. He was in the bank, and then he got into his own business, but he was a farm guy. And then my sister, she got her license. I got my license, too, but I never finished it as a career, right? Music took off, pardon the pun, and then he, as far as music, they'll encourage anything as long as we're actually into it and doing a good job of it, right?
Well, that's pretty good.
And but I got great memories. It's just the problem is he's too big of a footprint to live up to. I mean, everything he did was, you can never get up earlier than him. You can never work harder or longer,
right?
All that kind of jazz, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. What is this? Is this some? What am I, a couch or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I see a butterfly. Seriously, there's a butterfly outside. I think it's a monarch because it's got a crown and it's got their... You can tell.
So my first piece of advice is change your meds.
It's British. It's a British monarch because it has bad teeth.
Geez.
You can tell.
My second piece of advice is next time you do truck pool karaoke, don't bring a CD because the newer vehicles don't have CD players.
Yeah. Jeez. So you've been watching that. That was fun. We did a little stint with the folks at the radio station there, and the folks down at Buster Chrysler were located. They provided us with different cars each week. We do a little video in the car, and that was fun.
Yeah.
That was really cool. But I was just at the rental place here. My sister-in-law borrowed our one truck, so we rented a car just for me to boot around in for the last couple of days. And so we're in there, and we're at the counter, and there's this real guy. He looks like you. He's kind of like, alpha male. And anyway, he's just incensed about something. And the lady's handing him his keys for his Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I'm in there just happy as a clam. And I'm like, hey, I just need something small to boot around in. She goes, oh, what about that little red Fiat out front? And I'm like, sure. And this guy looks at me like, you. Anyway, it turns out that he was given that car by his company to drive. And he hated it. He was like, I'm not driving a girl's car. I take it. All right, so I got to say, it was a little effeminate for my for my liking, but it was fun, man.
Yeah,
my kids loved it, and you get it's like it's got the fabric top, and the even the back is a convertible. It's awesome. It was cool. I felt like a Italian farmer or something. I going out checking my orchards. It was cool. It was cool.
You know, I wish this wasn't radio, because at this particular point in time, I would pass my iPhone to you as I'm doing to Mayor. And Mayor, why don't you tell the listeners what you see in that picture?
Be careful now, Mayor. Be careful.
Is it a Fiat? Drew in a Fiat?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't really fit
so, dude,
so much.
I'm in Spain, and when I travel, I want to have a convertible, because if you're going to do a lot of driving, I don't want to feel like I'm inside all the time, so I want to have a convertible.
You're trying to fit in a Fiat?
Dude,
no, not even a little bit.
It's a convertible. My head is through the roof, like Jerome the giraffe from The Friendly Giant.
It looks like one of those little kid toys where
yes!
Where birds hitting you in the head as you're driving down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It went faster when I stuck my feet through the floor and went like Fred Flintstone.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, the Italians, they got the style, they got all that kind of stuff, but apparently they don't have, you know, egregiously large heads.
No.
His head.
It's just me.
Nothing else.
Oh, shut up. Thanks for throwing me under the bus, buddy. All right, listen, I actually do want to ask you a question, because everybody that comes on the show, we ask about God stuff, right? And, you know, what do you think? What do you believe? And, you know, we've had lots of interesting people say lots of interesting things on our show and lots of different beliefs. Being in country music, I'm assuming that you're not a Scientologist, because I don't know many in there who are. I'm assuming that in country music, you know, you saddle up with Jesus every day.
Yeah, well, I was a Scientologist for a while, but, you know, I couldn't handle, like, the inaugural thing, and that was where you have to watch all Mission Impossible without rolling your eyes. And it's like, if you even hint that you roll your eyes or yawn, it's like,
you're done. You're out.
Out.
And then you have to watch the Risky Business thing and not laugh. It's
there's nothing wrong with a little Risky Business.
Oh, stop.
Come
it.
On.
Oh, man. No, but did you grow up doing the church thing? Like,
no, just weddings and funerals, and I didn't come from a Christian home, and then and then just hit the road, and music was my God. Country music was my God, and they were all the gods within it, right? So I wanted to be like those guys, you know, and so I did everything that I could, too, and it was everything wrong. And that just led to, you know, internal implosion, and my wife and I were saved through my grandmother's church and introduced to this pastor named George Cunningham, who's a fantastic fella, who's no longer with us. But it was an amazing time in our lives, because I hate to use any reference of Keanu Reeves in my salvation, but
wow.
It was almost... It was
blue
almost
pill, red pill?
Like the Matrix thing, you know, and I didn't realize the world, you know, when it talks about how the scales fall off your eyes, and so that was... I wish it was just a matter of everything changed and it was all for the better, but it's not. I mean, we get in the doldrums all the time, and we're there right now, but as a Christian now... It's weird, because my exposure to Christianity before was country music, and that was all, you know, praise God, all right, Saturday we're going out and we're getting drunk, and that was the topic of the songs, right? Mm-hmm. And it was very confusing, and so it's, you know, but that was just, those guys are just making money, right? So it took a real compass to get it straight.
Why did you buy into Jesus? Why not something else?
Well, I did. I bought into everything else.
Oh, right.
And
but I mean, when it came time, when you know, basically what I hear you saying is I looked around and realized the stuff I was doing wasn't really getting me anywhere, and there has to be more to life, and so you looked into spiritual stuff and you landed on Jesus.
Right. Well, it was through, my wife says, you know, we kind of didn't realize it, but God had orchestrated Christians all around us.
Right.
And so when crisis hit, then that is, those were the first conduits to help. And they taught us, and that was really it. And you know, we're not built to all religions, and all these things you see on the internet, like all these, you know, positive self talk memes and all these kind of things. Hmm. When you boil it down, the good ones are all biblically based advice, just said by somebody else. And the only difference is submitting to Christ as opposed to. You know, I'm part of this living, breathing thing that I can control, but you can't, you know, and that's the difference, is Christ is in control, not us. And it's really tough, because, you know, I used to think like we were talking, my wife went to a Bible camp. She was with a lady just recently, and this lady said, "Oh, I could." She wasn't saved. She's like, or didn't know anything about Christ. She goes, "I could never go to church because I do bad things." It's like, how in the world have Christians screwed this up so bad that we have people thinking that you have to be a certain level of holiness to go to church. Christ never did that, ever. Christ didn't have a building, and he just wanted to be with those who were sinners, and that's all of us. I know Christians are jerks because I am one. So
that's what I've heard.
Come on to the meeting. I'll see you there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's amazing. That really pains me because I know I used to feel like that too. So you don't have to be fixed to go to the mechanic. That's not how it goes.
Speaking of fixed, are you having more kids?
No.
Okay.
No, that was a little personal. I got a buddy who's got 5 kids, and he refuses to get fixed, and he's not even Catholic.
Wow. Is his last name Osmond?
Yeah, really.
Do you, as an entertainer, do you struggle with darkness as well, though?
Depression?
Well, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Heavy, and in a cycle of it now.
Oh, are you? Oh, geez. Sorry, man.
No, sorry for my wife, but
yeah.
No, I do struggle with the both ends of the spectrum for sure. I'm a bipolar bear, but my the whole thing with me is, there is a spiritual depression, right? And then I think there's just a physical chemical depression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as an entertainer, and it's biblical too, right? Like you'll have a high, and then as soon as you have a high, then you have a bust, and that's me, absolutely, and. But you must find that too, like after you have a great run of shows and then all of a sudden
that hasn't happened
off.
Yet.
Yeah, right. But then you have a day off and it could be a glorious day off, but unfortunately like why you feel like what is it? What is it with that? And there's something to human nature. I know there's biblical examples of why or what it is, but I just don't understand the why.
Yeah.
But comedians for sure, and entertainers as a whole, I think absolutely. It fills your cup so much entertaining. It's amazing. It's like drinking a ton of caffeine, but then there's going to be that echo, and and you got to brace yourself for it.
Hmm. So what's your coping mechanism? Thrift shopping?
My coping mechanisms? No, not thrift shopping. My coping mechanisms are passive aggressiveness, huffing, and
stomping
of feet.
Right.
Stomping of feet. Yeah, I'm very good at it. But you know what? I don't know. I've got to get better coping mechanisms. I don't really have a good one right now.
Well, that's why I brought up the thrift shopping, because Casey Clark told me that you're quite a thrift shopper.
I can be. Yeah. I can be when I need to be, pal. we did a thing on the road and we filmed it. It was called Road Hammers Go Everywhere, and we tried on some. We did a little visit to a thrift shop. That was pretty cool. But, some people really love to go shopping to alleviate the blues.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just I'm half Scottish and half Scottish, so there ain't no way that makes me feel good.
Well done. Well said. Speaking of the Bay City Rollers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I hope this cheers you up. I want to finish the interview with a little thing that I like to call useless television trivia.
Yes.
There's no such thing.
Yes, there is. Because the useless part is you don't get no prize if you win. Okay.
Oh, that's useless. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we do this with our listeners. It's our favorite thing, and we're going to do it with you because I want to help you get out of the funk. And nothing helps me get out of the funk than listening to some theme songs from the
80s. Nobody ever said to James Brown they're going to help him get out of the funk.
No.
They don't want to keep you in the funk.
Speaking of that, hold on, name drop. You should go to drewmarshall.ca and listen to the interview I had with James Brown.
Come on, kiss myself, for real?
Yeah, before he died.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I will do that as soon as we're done here.
okay, here we go. Useless television. What television show is this from?
Newhart.
Any clues?
Newhart.
No, it was Murder, She Wrote. Here's the second one.
Take a chance and face the world. Oh, I know.
You can't play, Mayor.
I'm not even looking at the
screen. Family Ties?
No, close. Who's the boss? Okay, number 3.
For a million years.
Ex-hippies.
Family Ties.
Yes, he got one. Ladies and gentlemen, got one. All right, here we go.
Miami Vice.
Yes, Miami Vice. He's on a roll, folks. Jason McCoy's on a roll. And he's rolling up his sleeves to his suit jacket.
Now the world don't
Strokes.
Yes, Different Strokes.
Wow.
He said it. He got it. What you talking about, Willis?
What would you do if I sang out of tune? I got nothing. 30-something? I don't know.
Wonder Years.
Oh, there you go.
Or you could just set Joe Cocker.
Cheers.
Yes. He's flying. What is he? He's at 50% now, I think. 50% for Jason McCoy. Useless television trivia.
It's like math marks for me. A-Team.
Yes. Wow. He got it. A-Team. Dude, you had no life in the 80s. Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason McCoy on
Very
the Drew Marshall
impressive.
Show. A little
Very
useless
impressive.
Television trivia.
You got me with the Tony Danza one and the Who's the Boss, because like my dad always said, he said, look, son, if you can make just one person laugh, just that one person, then you're doing better than Tony Danza.
Yeah. Jason will be hosting the Country Music Association Ontario Awards on May 30th.
CMAO is called the Smows.
The Smows.
Yeah.
You know what? That sounds like, have you ever heard that joke, animal, what's animal porn? Brown, chicken, brown, cow.
Oh, no.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, boy.
Okay, sorry, ADD moment. Jason will be hosting the Country Music Association Ontario Awards on May 30th for the third time. I have a question for you about that, and then we'll let you go. When you host an award ceremony, are you like a, who's the guy that does this song and dance stuff?
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, are you one of him, or are you more like a Ricky Gervais?
Is Ricky Gervais drunk?
You can't do that anymore. You're a Jesus guy, eh? That's what people say now, eh? You can't do nothing.
You're a Jesus guy.
Wow, you just settle down.
I don't know. I don't really know the difference between Gervais and
well, are you a sarcastic jerk? Because that's how I MC stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a sarcastic jerk.
Yeah.
But, I'm kind of more of if Jim Carrey drank too much coffee and who was the comedian who always did the guy with the black hair, Richard
Pryor?
No, the guy. Oh my goodness! You know what? You know what?
What?
You're too much. You guys are too much.
Yeah, right.
I just have fun. It's all about the crowd, good times, great entertainment. It's gonna be an awesome show. We got the best of Ontario's country's best, and it's really grown in leaps and bounds in ways that even I couldn't imagine being from here. And now I get to host it. So it's pretty cool. And they've actually asked me back for my third time, so I can officially say, you invited me. So
yeah, that's what
Your fault.
I'm emceeing the March of Dimes Gala at the Royal York in a few weeks, and that's my third time. And that's exactly the attitude I'm going in with.
Yep.
Anyway.
No, you're ruining your wedding. You know that.
Yep. Oh, buddy. Well, I was told by Laura Dewar that you and I would have a fun conversation. And
she is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as she thought I would, but I enjoyed it. It was good. Thank you.
Well, man, I've had a great time. Thanks for taking the time. We're out here working on the farm on some stuff today, so it was a nice break.
Good. Well, you know what? The next segment is Meanwhile Back on the Farm with my dad, Grant Marshall. It's turned into the most listened-to segment on the show. My 83-year-old dad comes on and talks about life on the farm back in the day.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stay on for that.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Drew. You guys rock.
Yeah.
It's a fun show, and I'm a big fan. I appreciate you taking the time to hang.
JasonMcCoy.com, that's the website. TheRoadHammers.com, that is another website. This is my newest, favoritest tune. Have a listen to these dudes doing some crazy stuff. I think it's called Mud. Jason, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you. If you say it backwards, it's the collective IQ of our band.
Yeah, there it is. Nice. Well
Take
said.
Take care, buddy.
See you, Jason. Bye-bye. You got to say it like that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, short break. When we come back, Grant Marshall on The Drew Marshall Show.